Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubin.
Our focus this morning is the Fairy Godmother Project. We're also going to talk about a bone marrow drive that they're getting ready to do next month. Andy McConnell is here from Fairy Godmother. Andy, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Ted.
Good to have you here. And just let people know about the work in the community of the Fairy Godmother Project. Before we get started in some of this other stuff, talk about what Fairy Godmother Project does.
Okay. We support families in our community that are facing pediatric cancer. And the start, we really focused on the families who are newly diagnosed and trying to support them as much as we can. Our whole concept is that we take care of the caregiver so they can better care for their children.
It's so much of that. So oftentimes when a diagnosis comes, it always comes as a surprise.
Absolutely.
And your life is engulfed, especially initially.
Yes, absolutely. It changes everything. I was just talking to someone yesterday about how there's a mom that we've been supporting for 2 years and I've never met her. And it was one of my board members. And she said, well, how is that possible? I thought you meet with the new families right away. And I said, but most of them, if we meet them immediately, they don't have time. They're running around like crazy and they are really trying to adjust to a new lifestyle. And so they often don't have time to sit down and chat with me. So I'm so excited because I get to meet that mom in a couple weeks.
Yeah, no, you're there, besides learning new terms about drugs and learning about, you hear words. I mean, I remember when we dealt with it, you start hearing about protocols.
Right, protocols.
And you're just like, what does that mean? What's that mean? And then you're hearing and then drugs. And after a while, unfortunately, the drugs become second nature.
Absolutely.
When they're going to get them and what the effects are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, just day to day. And I've told you the story about how when my son was diagnosed initially, how a group from our church came in. And while we were in Richmond, an MCV came and just cleaned the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
And to come home to that was just like, wow, this is really nice. They even put up our Christmas tree.
Oh, that is nice. And that's what we try and do, do all those kinds of things. And then as the organization has evolved, I am finding there's so many more needs for these families. And so I have a tendency to need to meet all of them. And my goal is always to make sure if there's something in the community that already exists, rather than doing the same thing, instead refer the families to it. But lately we've been working on things like we met with Mary Washington Hospital's emergency department recently.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things that happens for our families is they go to the emergency department and they don't always have a great experience just because it's such a specialized thing. And so Mary Washington was willing to meet with us, and we've developed sort of a streamlined way for the families to go in when there's an emergency. And it was actually just an amazing meeting. They were so helpful and they heard what we had to say, and they've developed a letter for the families to give to their oncologist to fill out that they'll be able to bring to the emergency department. Mm-hmm. So everything will be easier for them. You know, they'll know what medications they're on. They'll know what medications not to give them. So in addition to helping the families, we're also trying to advocate for them in different ways so that their whole experience can be better.
Boy, that is because all of a sudden you're used to certain things,
yes,
and to have to start all over with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like insurance companies,
yep,
too. And I don't know if they still do. I'm sure a lot of still do. But I know in our case, because we were dealing with so much, they just assigned us a certain person. And so we always talked. That person knew our case.
Which is wonderful. Right, because you have more claims than the average person.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there's all that. So you're out there, you know, meeting, because I think like right now that if a child is diagnosed and you're in Richmond or Charlottesville, mm-hmm, wherever you're being treated, something like getting your lawn cut would be just a huge thing to know that's getting taken care of.
Yeah, and we just try and take care of all those little things. And then we also added a program last year that is that helps the families at end of life. And we started that because of a little girl named Lily Noakes, and her mom had invited me to be part of their experience when they found out that there was nothing left that could be done for Lily. And so I got to see what that looks like and how stressful it is and how just all around horrible it is. And fortunately, we didn't have to use that program. We developed it and, mm-hmm. and we raised money for it. And then we kind of waited. And then this year already, it's only March, and we've already been able to use it or had to use it twice. We've already had two of our Fairy Godmother Project kids have passed since January. So this program, you know, I mean, on paper, it seemed great. I thought, well, this is going to be good. But when you're in the thick of it and you're helping a family whose child has just died, it is absolutely indescribable how powerful what this program does for those families is. You know, we just kind of show up. It's all about showing up. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what it is in life. You know, when all else fails, just show up. And we just go in and help in any way we can. We help with cleaning. We help with planning the service. We help with just being there, physically being there, cleaning out the fridge. I mean, truly anything the family needs. And it has been by far the most rewarding thing that I've personally done. I mean, just being part of that time is pretty powerful. So I'm hopeful that we won't have to use the program again this year.
You're right. Yeah.
But we have used it twice.
Yeah. And it's there, and mm-hmm. that's the unfortunate thing.
Absolutely.
Every day somewhere, and mm-hmm. it strikes here just like it does everywhere else. Yeah. All of a sudden, a child gets sick in a family thinking, you know, we'll go to the doctor and get this checked.
It's cold, yeah.
That's right. And all of a sudden, you're doing more tests and more tests mm-hmm. and more. And that's, I guess, one of the things that's just really tough, that generally you're not diagnosed right away.
Right.
And they kind of chip away, and all these little small things
absolutely.
Are eliminated. And all of a sudden, you're sitting there thinking, we're running out of small things.
Yeah.
And it turns into a big thing.
Right, because they're not going to do a CAT scan or an MRI mm-hmm. when a child shows up and they're vomiting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably the flu. You know, I mean, that's not going to be any doctor's go-to, because no doctor is thinking, oh, here, this six-year-old probably has cancer. It's just not the way you know, that's not the norm. So it's not necessarily looked at right away. It often takes quite a while for them to be diagnosed.
Well, you take a look at programs in a community, and I'll say this with a lot of groups that come in here, and you just think, we're really lucky to have mm-hmm. you fill in the blank. Boy, this is one of them that has just really turned into just a jewel for this community, for the people that really need it.
Absolutely. And it's also a jewel for our volunteers. Yeah. You know, I mean, we have been very fortunate in that we don't usually lose volunteers. Once they become part of our organization, they truly are part of it. It's this almost sweet little family of people. I mean, we've had people volunteering for us from the very beginning and who are extremely committed to every aspect of the organization, whether it's the fundraising or lead volunteers, which is each family's assigned one volunteer who's their point of contact. And often those people do it over and over again. You know, if a child passes they were the lead for, they usually give themselves a little bit of time to regroup, but they come back because it's so rewarding to be able to know that you're helping people at their most difficult time. You know, I mean, without a doubt, there's something to that. And so it's been a great thing for our community in that regard, too.
So you have people there. There are opportunities
lots of volunteer. Absolutely. We will use you pretty much in any way we can. I mean, in the last few weeks, we've had people go and clean out someone's house. Someone else cleaned up someone's yard. Someone went and cleaned out the fridge. I mean, all kinds of things. And then in addition, there's always work at the office to be done, too. So lots of different things. And then also working directly with the families. We are a little bit private about our families. Mm-hmm. And so when a new volunteer comes on, they aren't given the privilege of working directly with our families. You have to earn that. Because sometimes people think they want to be committed to the organization, and then life gets in the way and they get busy. So we want to make sure that anyone who we're having work directly with our families is committed, because they don't need the loss of someone that they've grown attached to that suddenly says, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
So we make sure that they're truly committed before they're allowed to be a lead volunteer.
And I'm sure you'd plug them into what a person feels comfortable with. If they would want to volunteer but just would rather do office busy work.
Absolutely. I have a volunteer who I adore, and she comes every Thursday. And she comes from 10 until 12 faithfully every single Thursday and does whatever we have in the office to do. I have a wonderful committee that does our Stardust Ball, which is every year in September. Mm-hmm. And each woman on that committee has a role. And if you ever saw the group of us, you would never put us together in a group, but we've all become extremely close friends. We have one woman who's our drill sergeant, and she keeps us on task. And then We have our chairwoman, who's amazing, maybe a little easily distracted. And so she and I start talking about things that relate nothing to it, and we have to be brought back by the drill sergeant. And everybody kind of takes their role, and it's amazing how well it's worked. But I try not to give people – a lot of people aren't comfortable asking for donations because that's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
And so those people don't. You know, I just say, then don't do it. You can do something else. There's plenty to be done.
If someone wants to find out more about Fairy Godmother, the website is?
FairyGodmotherProject.org.
Okay.
And we're also on Facebook, too, and Instagram and Twitter and whatever else. And we're also on Snapchat, but we've never actually gotten a snap, but one day.
Andy McConnell here, the executive director with the Fairy Godmother Project. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. We'll continue this talk, and we'll talk about the bone marrow project that they're going to be involved in next month. When we come back on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell's here, the executive director of the Fairy Godmother Project, fairygodmotherproject.org, to find out about all their work. You all are involved with a bone marrow registry project on April the 20th, and with what you do, boy, that really fits in because it's so many of these cases. Lots of kids who get leukemia, unfortunately, mm-hmm. need to have bone marrow transplants. And a lot of times, they rely on the registry. They don't have a family member that matches.
Absolutely. And, you know, I wasn't even really all that aware of it. You know, I hadn't thought that much about it. And I remember actually Kaylee's family, mm-hmm. went right after she was diagnosed with leukemia, her mom said, "We just need to get her in remission and we need to get her a match." And then she started talking about the stats.